Hey everyone, welcome to Snacks and Chats. Did you know that this was called Snacks
and
Chats?
No, but I love it. I love, hence the snacks. Now I know why that preamble before we started recording was so important, because you're like, it's called Snacks and Chats. We didn't ask her about her snack choices.
I know, this is the second season, by the way, and wow, we still haven't got it together.
We're fully polished.
If you've never listened before, I'm Lani.
I'm Ben.
And this is Madeline Sami.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good. Thanks for coming to a stranger's house.
Yeah. That's cool. I spent another extra 20 minutes that I needed to get to you as well, because I took the wrong on-ramp and then ended up in the shore. But it was sweet coming back. It was sweet.
Oh, that's
but
good.
I just want the listeners to know how committed I am to this podcast. Podcast? It is a podcast thing. Yeah. I don't know what I'm doing here. I don't know who I am anymore.
Well, yeah, so this must be very strange for you just being here. What the fuck is going on?
Yeah, I'm like, what the fuck? Well, you got heaps of drinks over there. That's cool.
Oh, yeah, if you want alcohol.
I probably should, but I probably shouldn't. You know what I mean? I shouldn't. I won't. I'm good with this fizzy water. Maybe later. Okay. See how the interview goes, eh? And then maybe get
celebrate
into some shots.
Yeah. Okay, so what I ask everyone is, when people ask you where you're from, what do you tell them?
I think I say I'm from... It depends on who's asking me.
Yeah.
If it's like a strange, like someone's weird uncle at a wedding, then I'm like, I'm from New Zealand, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm from New Zealand, dude. Where are you from? But if it's like an ethnic person, I'm like, well, I'll break it down straight away. My dad was from Fiji.
Yeah.
But he's Indian, so Fiji Indian is what I say, but I think some people say Indo-Fijian now, but I grew up saying Fijian Indian. And my mum is Kiwi, but with a strong she strongly identifies as Irish European, as opposed to any other type of European.
Right.
But
it
yeah,
has
Kiwi.
To be Irish, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we grew up doing Irish dancing and stuff, so I call myself a Fijian Indian Irish person, and but Kiwi, and or curried potato is what I jokingly call myself all the time.
And the people
are like, dads and mums like love that joke. They're like, that's classic. That is a classic joke, Mads. Hey, Raywin, check out this funny way Madeline describes herself. Oh, that is lovely. You're lovely. That's lovely, isn't it? Lovely complexion you've got there.
And like in Auckland, when people ask you, like, say if
oh, where I'm from? Onehunga. Onehunga.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember the first time I realised you existed was when you came to Onehunga High School
and you spoke.
You were the guest speaker at our, the year-end assembly.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I think that was couple of years after I finished high school.
Yeah.
They were like, oh, can you come back and do the... I was like, oh, man, I don't even know how to be a... do a speech in front of my old school. I think I just did some like character voices and stuff.
I did
some of this play I was doing.
The tour phrases number two. It was incredible. I was like, you did all the different characters. I was like, wow, that's so cool.
Oh, that's right. Because I was like, I think in my mind I was like, I don't really know how to do a speech, so I'll just do some characters because I'm way more comfortable doing that than anything else. So,
but that's buzzy that it was only a couple years after you finished school, so that meant that you're already...
Which was only a couple of years ago because I'm so young.
Same.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was. I think that was maybe even the year after I finished or something. I can't really remember. It was only... I haven't been asked back since. I think that's what... She just does. She's just that weird person that does all those characters. We're not going to get her back.
It was cool though because you presented an award to your sister, to Angie. She won one of the big awards.
Right. Oh my god, you got a better memory for this than I do.
No, it's for. I think I was.
So that would have been if Angie was
seventh form.
Seventh form. That was 2 years after I finished. So I would have been 19 or something. 20.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy because you're obviously, I feel like, were you touring the world with that play?
I was doing that play and I'd done Shortland Street as well. So I had a bit of a profile from Shortland Street because Basically, I did Shortland Street the year after I finished high school, and I was like, and lots of people, so many people still remember me from that show, and like, you know, it's such a massive thing, such a massive soap. And you know, they watch it in Fiji and stuff as well. So true. Like, whenever I go over to Fiji, it's always like people like fan out about it. And I'm like, that was 15 years ago or whatever, you know, like, get over it. But yeah.
The impression I get is that's like a really good place to begin your, like, you learn the craft really well on Shortland Street. Is that sort
of? Yeah, I don't know about the craft, but I do know that you learn to act fast.
The process.
Yeah, the process. Yeah. And I don't think, I mean, it's been a long time since I did Shortland Street, and I only did 5 months of it, but I don't think that I've ever, that anything's ever been as hard.
Right.
Because it's just the fastest kind of TV you can make, and no one really pauses to help. Mm. So if you're, like, when I was on there, I was like, I think I was like 17 or 18. They made me look heaps older than I was, and I didn't even know about continuity, you know, like I was doing takes and I was just putting my stuff back wherever I wanted, and someone had to kind of, and it was like going on for ages, and I got the sense like the crew was a bit annoyed, and I remember someone coming up to me and just going, you know that when you do like an action scene, you sort of have to put the, you have to do, repeat the same thing. And I was like, oh, okay. But like, you know, so it was kind of like real training ground in that way, that you just kind of like thrust into it and you have to kind of like.
So that was your first then, so that was your very first, I guess, acting job, was it?
Yeah, that was my first, like, TV acting job. I'd done a few little bits and pieces, but that was a big, first big chunk. And then I'd done lots of, like, theatre and stuff when I was a teenager, and theatre sports and things like that. So
that's throughout high school, that sort of thing? Yeah.
I'm surprised you don't know this, Lani, like, the Fab Four was the theatre sports champions in 1997
High School.
We beat Avondale in the final, actually.
Shame, Avondale.
I still, actually, Johnny Barker, who's an actor, who was in the Avondale team that year, we beat them, and he works up at John O and Ben. He's a director at John O and Ben. I know. I still
hassle
him about
it. Was he the serial killer?
He was a serial killer. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I still remind him of that. I remember when we beat you, bro, in like 97 at home. We beat you at home.
I bet it still burns too.
I think it still probably hurts a lot.
Yeah.
You don't let that stuff go. It's like your first love, you know. You'll always remember it. It's like losing the 1997 Theatre Sports Championships. You don't forget that shit.
So when people ask you what you do, what do you tell them?
I tell them I'm an actor, I think. That's my instinct. But I think for the last wee while, I've been doing more writing than acting. So I've started to put, like, writer-actor on my, like, departure forms.
That's slashy.
Yeah, I've started doing that. And, for a while, I was like, I can't write that. I didn't believe it. But then I'm like, actually, if I look at what I've been doing for the last wee while, it's been a lot of writing, so.
Because Super City was, that was you.
Yeah, that was me co-writing with Tom Sainsbury. Oh,
okay.
So that was my first kind of real proper writing experience, the two seasons that we did of that. And then, yeah, in the last few years, I'm co-writing a film with Tom as well, which is a spin-off for one of the characters from Super City, a Pasha film.
Oh, yeah.
And then I've co-written and we're co-directing and co-starring with Jackie Van Beek in a film that we've just started production on. So we start shooting that in a month.
Oh, cool. Is that what you were doing today? That's what I was doing today, yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
Well, you obviously made an impression on me because I remember it so well at that high school. Tell me more about that
because like, you've got better memories of it. Yeah. No, it's funny. Like, people have different memories of different, like, things. Like, I do remember doing that doing characters on that day in that speech, but I think I would have been probably really nervous, so I probably like just, you know, when you're nervous you like forget things, yeah. Like you forget what you kind of block it out, but yeah, what else happened that day?
Well, I mean, that's, you know what, that was the highlight for me. That's,
oh my
all
God,
I
this,
remember
this podcast is going to be like Serial. It's going to be like, yeah. Where were you? I was in the library, okay, yeah. And then I did the speech and then yeah,
but no, I think. So I kind of, like, always followed, you know, like, when I saw you pop up, I'd be like, oh, that's Madeline from, like, Onehunga, who did that cool thing that, you know, like, but I, Super City, like, reminded me of all those different characters, yeah. You know, from that day, and I guess obviously from that play that you did. Do you think you drew on that to like all the skills you took from that,
I suppose? Yeah, I think so, yeah. I mean, I definitely, like, for me, doing, because doing number two, you know, it was a, we did, the play was part of this New Works Festival at the Silo Theatre, which used to be what the basement was called. And we literally had about 2 weeks to rehearse it, and Tor kind of wrote some pages and I kind of improvised off that, and then, you know, it kind of became this thing. But I was drawing on a lot of what I grew up with, you know, the people that I grew up with at Onehunga High School. So a lot of those characters that I, you know, sort of created for that show were dudes that I was in school with, you know. Mm-hmm. One of the characters called Soul in number two was a guy, there was a guy called Soul at Onehunga High School who, like, was in the first 15 and, like, was, like, the smooth... I can't remember what he was, Tongan, or there's like real probably handsome Tongan. Dude. Soul was like the real handsome babe guy, but real larrikin as well, you know, like troublemaker guy. And yeah, and then yeah, I think for me, from since childhood, I've always loved doing stupid voices and playing characters. So it was all just building towards that, but making something out of it or doing a show. And number two ended up being that, and then. From that, I was always wanting to put it into TV form. And it was, like, funny because we were developing it and then, like, Summer Heights High came out, you know, obviously,
yeah,
like...
that's what I remember thinking, damn, that was... They stole your idea sort of thing or whatever, like...
Well, it was... It's just, like, collective consciousness or whatever. Yeah. But it was always like, damn, I was touring that show because I was touring that show for so many years.
Yeah.
You know, from, like, 99, basically, I think, was when we did the first season... and then just travelled around the world doing that show. But obviously, while I was doing that, wasn't sort of developing the idea to put it into sort of TV form or whatever. And, you know, Chris Lee did such a great job of Summer Heights High. And
Jonah was so on point. It's like,
so good,
eh? Because you talk about the boys from Onehunga, and I was like, these are the Jonah is so many boys I went to high school with.
Yeah. Yeah, and just, so yeah, and obviously by the time we came round to actually getting to make Super City, it was like, you know, we wanted to kind of do a different thing, and that we wanted it to be more, less like a mockumentary and more like a story-based thing, and yeah, so it was sort of an evolution of what he was doing in the end, but not a copycat thing.
My favourite character from that was the Tongan woman from Wins.
Oh, yeah, Ufa.
Yeah. And I was like, I wonder if this is based off a girl from, like, Onehunga or someone from Onehunga.
There were a lot of formidable women at Onehunga High School, like a lot of great, great characters. I mean, just growing up at a school like that where you just, it's so mixed and so, like, it's such a, Onehunga is like that. It's such a mix of old money, well, not old money, but, like, new money, you know, all this, like, new gentrification, all the, like, new people that came in and bought all the, like, villas and did them up in the 90s, and then, like, but still, like, real multicultural and poor as well. And, that clash of all those things at a high school is so, like, awesome. Because, you know, you just, like, you feel like you can deal with anything when you go out to the real world because you've already dealt with that.
Yeah, because I feel like some people probably don't get to interact with different cultures, and like they could go through their whole life not having to interact with other cultures. But in Onehunga High, like you say, it's really cool. It's all different.
And it's different now too. Like I went back last year because I was made at, what do they call it? Some like, they gave me some award for something. Outstanding something or other in the community. I don't know, some like the business school has these award things, and anyway I went back and like the kids will put on like a special dinner and award evening, and they organize it all and stuff, and like I was really proud because, you know, obviously in the years after school I sort of kept in touch, and my mum lives right next to the school, so I'm always sort of seeing people, but like it was cool to see, like, the kids coming through and, like, the spirit of the school is still the same. Like, really nice kids and, like, really open and talkative and, you know, multicultural still. It hasn't, like, just turned into, like, a... Because that was my... That's always my thing with Onehunga. Like, I don't want it to get too flash.
Yeah.
You know, and lose its kind of spirit.
Yeah, totally.
I just waffle on then, eh? I see, I get on. Get me started. You start me talking about when you're hungry, and I get really emotional.
You presented the TV show The Indians. This must have been a while back. Was that the first time? I think I read that it was kind of the first time that you might have sort of really looked into that side of your culture.
It was. Well, it was the first time I didn't really get to look into it. I mean, because it was kind of a general show about Indians in New Zealand. And my background is, like, my dad's family anyway were... my dad came over when he was in his teens because he was naughty. And, well, this is a story I've been told. I don't even know if this is true. But he came over because he was naughty, apparently, and he had to live with his older brother or his cousin or something here because he was, like, basically getting into trouble in Fiji. And then he was here for a few years, and then, you know, like, it was the 70s, and all that. Everyone was like, you know, oh, who are these exotic brown dudes that look like bloody, you know, Che Guevara or whatever. And my mum and him, like, kind of hooked up. And, wait, what was the question again? I'm just getting nostalgic about my parents hooking up. My background, yeah. So anyway, so my dad's family is... quite recent, really, you know, like that was kind of like late 70s, I guess. And then most of his family came over here after the coup in 87.
Yep.
And then they're very, you know, like some of them stayed, some of them went back, some of them went on to Australia. And the show that the Indians one, which was a Gibson Group show, what was it called? Here to Stay, that's what it was called. That was more about like the history of Indians in New Zealand, which was interesting because I didn't know Indians came here like the Chinese, you know, for such a long time. So it was really interesting to go and meet these like families, like one of my favorite families was this farming family in the Waikato who were like Punjabi or something, I can't remember. And they were just like old school Waikato farming stock. Like the dad used to be the head of the rugby union in Waikato, but they're like hard out in there about like real Kiwi, and they like love their roast and stuff, and they had all these bloody horses, and I was just like, whoa, this is so weird, because you never get told that history of New Zealand. Never get taught the multicultural history of New Zealand, eh? Like you only get the Māori or the white version.
I guess we're pretty bad on the Māori history as well.
Yeah, but it's like it's either one side or it's either nothing or just you know the kind of Māori Pākehā kind of battle, but then not the other colours in between, I guess. So yeah, I didn't know any of that stuff, but it was cool to kind of find that out. But it's kind of like my dad's side at least is quite recent.
You talked about going to Fiji. Do you go over often? Like, do you visit family and stuff?
I haven't been that often. Yeah, a lot of my family are here now on my dad's side and in Australia as well. So my Archie, my grandmother, was there, but she died a few years ago. So that was sort of a reason to go, but not so much anymore. But I would like to go more often.
Have you been to Ireland?
I have been to Ireland.
Yeah. Did you bust out your dance move?
I didn't bust out my dance move. It's funny, like I don't know. What are you mixed up with?
Samoan. Samoan, and my mum is Kiwi, like white Kiwi.
Yeah. White Kiwi. Kiwi white.
Generic white Kiwi.
She used to how your mum was like, it's Irish. My mum was like, I'm Scottish, Irish, Cornish, or whatever. But she's like, but she doesn't want to like own the British part.
Same as my mum. Yeah. So funny. She's like, no, I'm British. Don't you dare say I'm any British. No, I'm Irish. The British came and fucked us over in Ireland, and we had the potato famine. Yeah,
you're like same.
I'm like every side. Yeah. The English, right? Yeah. They like came to. They took Indians to Fiji as slaves. Yeah. They fucked the Indians over in India. They fucked the Irish in Ireland. They fucked the Maori over in New Zealand. Like, there's no part of my identity that hasn't been fucked over by British imperialism or whatever, colonialism. So, but it's funny because I, And then grew up in South Auckland, where I just was like, everyone thought I was Samoan anyway, you know, and I just kind of embraced that a lot because I felt like all my mates were, you know, like a mixture of everything. So I just kind of felt like I was like Māori and Samoan and white and like a bit of, you know, that sort of South Auckland identity, I guess.
Yeah, it is its own identity as well. Eh?
Yeah, it really is. Like, because I remember, you know, growing up and like feeling like people would always be like, Aucklanders are this. You know, like Aucklanders were Ponsonby, rich yuppies, you know? And yep. I remember being like, I don't know that Auckland. Like, yep. I'm an Aucklander, but why do you say that's what Auckland is? Like, I barely ever came into town, you know? We were just out in Onehunga the whole time. And I would go, but that's not, don't hate Auckland because that's not all of Auckland, you know? Like, and I'm so proud of where I come from. Like, it's cool there.
Yeah.
Like, don't just think we're dickheads that have too much money and no sense. Or something, I don't know. But yeah, like for me, I guess identity has always been a moving thing.
Yeah.
And like a real point of conversation for myself, like internally, like how I feel about everything. Like I really don't know a lot of my Indian side just because my dad was kind of quite useless at passing anything on.
Yeah.
And he was quite, you know, keen to get away from that as well, I think. You know, and he came and he worked in Onehunga with a bunch of like Yugoslavian people in fish factories and stuff like that. So he, like, growing up, he would teach us like Yugoslavian swear words. And I don't even know. I was like, what do I know? It's like Yugoslavian and like Samoan, like, all, because that's all the people that he was working with in the factories. Yeah. And he was a mechanic and doing all this stuff. So I was really mixed up about what, you know, he didn't teach us Hindi, but he taught us Yugoslavian swear words.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But, yeah, that's the South Auckland identity. I think it's quite complicated, eh?
Yeah, when you talk about people mistaking you for Samoan or Māori or whatever, has that also helped you in, what's the word when you're, like, you could pass as anything or a lot of things. Does that help you in terms of acting? Like, in terms of...
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it does. It helps me just in life, I think, because I'd feel comfortable with everyone, you know, like I don't feel out of place in a lot of places because I feel like I've been exposed to a bit of everyone's, like, kind of culture and practices, you know, cultural practices. It doesn't intimidate me, you know, going to a marae or going to... You know, a friend's house out south, you know, where there's their grandmother's got something going on. You know, like, I don't feel intimidated by that. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, it has helped with the acting. I mean, you know, Sione's Wedding, I think I was playing Samoan in Sione's Wedding. But it's funny because, like, you know, the kind of idea of what's right in a certain time changes, you know, like... Yeah. It's interesting because now people are trying to be more politically correct with all that stuff, you know, like, so you're less likely to get a real Indian cast as a Native American or, which, you know, is good, I think. But, you know, there's been times in the past where I was auditioning for Māori parts and because it was so political at the time to cast Māori people in Māori parts, I would be... not considered for those parts because it'd be like, no, we want to cast a Māori person. Mm. And you go, yeah, you know, that's awesome. Politically, it's just stink for me because it's not, you know, I miss out on a part, you know?
Yeah.
But also I don't know if, it's a weird thing, eh? Like I just think there's like just different times in history where it's like the right thing's been done and the wrong thing's been done and, it's hard to know, like Cliff Curtis going off and playing all those Middle Eastern characters in the 90s. Like, I wonder if he'd be able to do that now.
Yeah, no, I'm not sure.
Or whether the process has changed because people are a lot more kind of conscious of doing things right, or at least, I mean, I personally think, you know, there's a, like, it's a kind of a case by case basis. Yeah. Like, and if you have the blessing of the people or the people you're representing, then you should be able to do it. But if it's like contentious or whatever, you know, you should be able to, I mean, you're seeing all the stuff with like Matt Damon and that,
yeah,
you know, and Scarlett Johansson and all that kind of whitewashing conversation, which is, again, has completely different political undertones than, you know, say a brown person playing a different type of brown person.
Yeah.
Because whitewashing has way more kind of
There's way more history and hurt to that as well. Yeah.
So it's such a weird, murky thing. But, I mean, it's definitely never been a better time to be, to look kind of like you're from somewhere miscellaneous like me. Because, you know, there's a lot of people are really aware of diversity right now and trying to, you know, so there's a lot more work. There's more work than ever before, basically, for older, browner, woman. Like, I mean, hello, Orange Is the New Black.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what I mean? Like, there's all sort of shapes and colours and ages in that show.
Sucks that it has to be in a prison for them to finally be diverse.
I know.
But it's like,
where would we, the writers are like, where would we find all these crazy exotic creatures?
Yeah, yeah.
Prison, of course, of course. Yeah.
But I guess it's also, I mean, that's when you're talking about being a writer and stuff, I guess that's also why it's important to have the power or the will to do your own stuff and write your own stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that's where, before doing Super City, I was just, like, kind of frustrated at the type of work that was offered to you. I mean, and to be honest, it was less about race and more about sexualization of female and just marginalization of female parts. Like, everything I would read or get to audition for, either, you know, it was something like one of these American productions that comes over and they're like, you have to, even before you audition, you have to sign a thing that says you're willing to be nude, you know, and I'd just be like, fuck this. I don't, like, this is bullshit. Why, my dude friends don't have to do this shit. Like, why am I getting, you know, putting all this work and effort into an audition for a thing that I don't even want to do and I definitely don't want to get naked for? Just because I need some money. Like, I might as well just go fuck dudes on the street. But also, like, and they weren't interesting characters, you know? Like, it was just all kind of sexualized women in shitty shows. And then, and that's why I was like, you know, obviously doing that play for so many years and going, I can play, it's way more interesting to play all these other parts. So why not just write something with lots of parts and then I just get to play them all? And I'd often get cast as, like, in other people's stuff as just like a featured extra, you know. I've played many, many cops in many things, like, you know.
Top of the lake
I was a cop. Under the Mountain I was cop, Constable Green. I was actually supposed to be a cop in My Father's Den, but I got to the South Island to do the shoot and they called me and they're like, oh yeah, we've actually done some revisions on the script and we've cut that character.
Oh my god!
There's going to be another cop in that.
Shit.
Been a couple lot.
So you've been typecast as a cop.
As a cop.
You really need to do something about that.
I don't know what it is. I look good in blue.
Apart from what you talked about before, is there anything else that you're working on? Any new music with your sisters?
Oh, yeah, or? We're trying to do some... We started doing some songs last year. We put out a couple singles, but one of my sisters just had a baby, so she's pretty going to be pretty busy for a little while.
Just
like
a baby.
Little baby, yeah. Have you seen it?
Just pictures. I know Jeremy.
Oh, yeah, okay, sweet. I was like, you're the guy who stands out the window just
your
looking
house
at
is
the
down
the
thing.
Wait a second. Oh, shit. Sorry, I'm just going to call 111 for a second. Yeah, little baby. But, yeah, so... And because I'm, like, my sisters get really annoyed with me because I'm often, like, you know, doing TV things or whatever and I'm pretty useless on, like, finishing songs and stuff. So, but, yeah.
Where are you based at the moment?
Hard. That was such a, like, onihunga thing I just did. I went, yeah, I don't know. I try and finish it, but I don't know. I don't know if I can finish it, but I'll try. I don't know. I think I'm going to give up. I don't know, get a job at Manfred or something. Well, those are good ones.
Yeah. Oh,
the little jubes?
There's like little jubes.
Mm.
Dig around in there.
Oh, these jubes are good.
Yeah, where are you based at the moment? Are you in the US or are you...
I'm sort of here, well, because we're directing and acting and starring, because we decided to take all the positions, I'm going to be here till probably about September.
Cool.
But yeah, I do kind of go between quite a bit. I've got a little thing I'm supposed to be working on for a a US network as well, kind of like a version of Super City, but a new type of thing.
Cool.
So I'm supposed to be writing that right now.
All right.
But I find it really hard to, like, I'm not one of those multitaskers that can just, like, are you guys like that?
Nah, no, I cannot do it.
I don't know. I'm so annoyed with people that do that, because I'm like, you're setting unrealistic expectations for the rest of us.
Yeah.
Tyker.
What an asshole.
Stop it. Stop being so prolific. Yeah. Yeah.
Bloody New Zealander of the year.
Bloody New Zealander of the year, right?
Did you direct Rose, one of Rose's comedy shows? Yeah. How was that? Like, is that something you...
I hated it. Can I be really honest with you?
Because right now,
my God, that woman. I mean, you know that song by Beyonce, "I'm a Diva."
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. No, I loved it. It was great. You're just going to cut that out and just make Rose sound horrible, eh?
Yeah.
Cut out the me saying it was great.
Yeah,
that was the first time I've directed a stand-up show. Well, it's the first time I've directed anything, actually.
Cool.
Really? But yeah, Rose and I were Facebook mates, and seldom in real life mates, but definitely hard out Facebook mates. And she was like, oh, can you help me out with this show that I'm doing? It was basically like a week of rehearsals, but she'd done a lot of the kind of groundwork and the writing of it and had a lot of the ideas, and I just kind of came in and helped kind of shape it and give it a bit of structure and stuff like that. But yeah, it was cool. Like, Rose is definitely like one of my favorite New Zealand comedians, and we have a very similar sense of humor, and yeah, it was cool. It's cool fun.
Do you see yourself doing more of that sort of thing, or is that more just like a helping out a mate type thing?
Well, it definitely was. It was interesting to because I also directed Funny Girls last year as well, which was a kind of just for me moving into sort of the more direction side of things, which I've always been fascinated with, and I've done like a few like music videos and stuff like that, but never like a long form type thing. And so directing actors is quite a new skill to develop, you know? I mean, even though as an actor you're kind of used to being directed, it's like being that person to other people is kind of interesting. So, yeah, I mean, it's definitely something I want to do more of, for sure.
Do you think it makes you a better director? Being an actor?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know about better. Like, I'm pretty sure you could be an actor and be a shitty director.
Yeah.
Because you're probably just, like, you could be an actor that just wants to tell someone exactly how to do it.
Yeah.
And like, that's the worst type of directing as an actor. You don't never want a director to be like, this line here, do you mind going, hello, can I have a cup of that, thanks? Because line reading is like the worst type of directing you can get, when someone just tells you how to say your line. So yeah, you could probably be a pretty shitty actor director. So it's that thing of like working out how to talk to people and like how to communicate what you want from them without in a way that works for them as well. Like, different actors need different things, and different actors have different strengths and weaknesses, and your job is to kind of like work out how to tell them exactly what they need to get to where they need to go, you know. And then of course, like with Funny Girls, it was also like working with a crew and like a DOP and working out how that whole thing works. But I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And I definitely want to do more of it, and I am doing more of it, doing this movie, which is a whole different type of directing. I'm shitting myself, guys. I'm shitting my pants. Like, what am I doing? I've been just talking bullshit this last, like, hour. I have no idea what I'm doing in my life. I'm having an existential crisis.
Well,
Pellegrino's good, though.
I mean, on that note, of having no idea what you're doing with your life, what advice might you give?
Do you feel like you have any idea what you're doing?
Like, constant.
Do you feel in control? Do you guys feel in control?
Absolutely not.
Constantly being like, what the fuck am I doing?
That's good, eh? Yeah. That gives me comfort, because I'm more often like, you know, you go, you cruise through a day, and then sometimes you're like, wait, what? Oh, no, I'm lying to myself and everyone around me.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, that's good. We're all on the same page.
Yeah, I don't know anyone who isn't having some sort of crisis, to be honest.
Yeah, it's just living, eh? Like, yeah.
It's really hard to do it.
Yeah. Because we're just like, what? Oh, my God, let's not go there. I was just about to say, what's it all about? Why are we here? Like, How are we here?
This podcast, honestly, like, it has a way of making people be like, question. Go real deep, like, question their very existence. Say, like, why are we, yeah. Why are we here?
We're just passing time.
Yeah.
Until we're just passing time until we die. Yeah. And we've got to have a good time doing it.
Yeah.
So that's why we have these snacks.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And
chats.
And these chats.
Are you vegan or just dairy free?
Just dairy free. Oh, yeah.
Cool.
That I was... had like stomach issues and then I was like basically I just shit myself.
You're literally
years.
Shitting yourself.
Yeah.
I shit myself for years and then I was like maybe I'll just try not having maybe I'll put this bit of cheese down and see how I go.
I could save myself this much on adult diapers if I just stop.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you made that life choice.
Yeah, thank you. I'm happy for all of us right now.
All right.
On that note.
Yeah, I was going to say, on that note, I feel like it's a good place. It's like the perfect
Should we just all go?
Yeah, let's go.
Should we just go? We'll go to the toilet together. Should we all fart in unison and call it a day?
I got some cheese if you need help.
Yeah, there we go. Cheese Sweet. Will definitely summon a fart.
All right. Okay. Okay, bye. Okay, bye.